AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Forecast One podcast, the final podcast of 2025. And how better to end it than to talk a little bit about everything that went down in Abu Dhabi with Sam, first of all. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing very well. It's a little bittersweet to be recording this episode, given the fact that it's the end of the season. So we have to wait until 2026. But, you know, I think that overall, it was a really good weekend to wrap up. And as always, I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Shane, we have a new world champion. How was the weekend for you?
It was good. I mean, the race maybe itself was not that excited, but it had a lot of excitement to crown a new world champion. But yeah, it's as Sam said, it's a little bit bittersweet. You know, we had a very, very nice season. Came to an end. Now we have to wait three more months for like probably very exciting season. You know, new cars, new regulations, new rules,
new engines.
So and new engines as well. So I mean, more cars on the grid.
That
so
too.
It's going to be three long months. But I'm very happy with the last race and how the whole season went. Yeah.
But you did give a little bit of a spoiler there. I do agree it was not by itself the most exciting race of the season. But I guess that gives us a little bit of time to reflect on the season as a whole. And perhaps I may have prepared a second quiz. So, I think it's a good time to get into a couple of forecast stats. And after that, we will talk a little bit about some of the highlights of the race. So we had 1,380 people playing Forecast this weekend with an average score of 48.1. And I'm going to ask both of you, how many people do you think correctly predicted the Verstappen Piastri Norris podium?
Let's go. I'm going to say 92.
It's difficult. I know for a fact my brother had it correctly in
that's
the forecast,
right,
so that's least one person. But I would say about 75.
I thought Sam's guess was really good. I didn't think you would get much closer, but you did get closer. You're just one away from the right answer. It was 76 people.
Wow.
We're starting well.
Starting off very well. So let's see how that gets you. I mean, I don't know. In Dutch, we say hardlopers and doodlopers, but we shall see. And we look at the podium of Forecast before looking at the winner of Forecast, of course. But let's first look at the podium for this weekend. On third place, we had Alba Alvarez from Spain with 86 points. On P2, we had Luis Ilan from Spain as well, 88 points. And on P1, Ken Mururi, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, from Kenya with 91 points. And I just looked at his prediction, and he had P1 Verstappen, P2 Piastri, P3 Norris. Of course, that was all correct. But he also had P4 Leclerc. He went with P5 Russell, and he went with P6 Alonso. So he got the first six drivers right in the right order.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's very, very impressive. And I think it deserved first place for Ken. And nice also to finish off the season with a Kenyan winner after We've had so many Kenyan players this weekend. How many exactly? Stick around for the quiz, because it's going to be one of the questions. But let's first look at the overall championship. And I would start with the third place, which is interesting because Brian de Boer made up three places in the last race, scored 66 points, and is crowned on third place from the Netherlands. So a very good last weekend, because I don't think Brian has been on the podium during any of the races season. So a very strong end for him. On P2, Fede Martinez from Argentina scored 44.5 points, ends with 1162.8 points. Pretty well, 45 points behind our winner, Filippo Morelli, who scored 54.5 in the last race. Again, went with the right winner of the race, as he has done for pretty much the whole season. So the winner of Forecast this season is from Italy and scored 1,207.9 points.
Wow, congratulations. That's a very, very incredible accomplishment. And well deserved, I think.
Yes, no, I completely agree. And we also look at a couple of the other sub-leagues that we had. We had this year the pre-game Motorshop merchandise competition, where people were rewarded prizes for finishing in the top three. And those prizes went to Edward Nejal, who won it, Rowan Liserio, and Martin Villarasa. And they all win some nice prizes, so congratulations to them. Looking at our junior drivers, I was interested to see which of the F4 drivers that are playing Forecast scored the most points overall. And it was a very close finish, actually, between Francesco Coppola, who won it, and Hadibi Masi. But Francesco scored 567.4 points, so he's the one who won it. And I guess, you know... Well, before we look at our scores, Sam, I'm going to ask you, actually, from which country you think we had the most players this weekend. I want to know P2 and P3 as well. And I'll tell you, there's two countries on P3, so you can guess four countries here.
Oh, okay. That's a first. Well, first of all, I think that the top country that takes it for the year and also took it for the weekend is going to be Kenya. I'm going to say second will remain Spain. And for third... I'm going to say the Netherlands, but it's a toss-up, I think. Let's say Mexico.
Netherlands is right on P3 together with India. Both wow. 60 players, 66 from Spain and 90 from Kenya. And talking about countries, we're going to do something interesting for next year. So there's going to be an additional competition. It's just playing the regular Forecast. You're going to score the regular points. But everybody that has finished first in his or her country is going to be thrown into what we call the Nation Champions League. And it's going to be a competition where we're going to compare all the P1s from their countries from this year during next year's competition. So if you finished P1 during this year, we're going to have a look at how you do compared to the other P1s from each country. And I failed to look up if any of you, but neither of you made it, but I don't think, are you P1 in your country? I know I'm not. Of course, Brian de Boer scored more points than I did. But Sam, are you first in Canada, or where did you finish?
I don't know. I want to say probably not.
Second.
Really?
Yeah. You were pretty close, but yeah, you finished second. And let's have a look at Shane. Shane, you finished,
I think, top 10 at least. That's,
yeah, P7. So it's not too bad. Yeah.
I was about to say you keep counting. So I was like, this is going to be very far down.
No, actually, no. It's your brother that finished P7. You finished P8. A couple of points shy of your brother, unfortunately.
At least somebody is carrying the family P7.
Yes. Yeah, so, all right. So neither three of us are going to make it to that competition. But if you're interested in that, or if you know that you, for a fact, did finish P1 in your country, follow the Beep_Forecast account on Instagram. So that's BEEP_Forecast, and they are gonna run this competition for next year. So that's going to be interesting. Now that we're talking about our scores, let's have a look at our scores for the weekend. So Sam, can you tell me what your prediction was for this weekend and how many points you scored?
I definitely can tell you because I was really hoping that I was going to get it right. But I went with a Verstappen win. I went with Norris in P2 and Piastri P3.
That is right. That got you 54.5 points. You finished P444. Lots of fours over there. And with that, you actually move 12 places up in the championship. So your final position is P58. Not as good as P...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
P3 from last year, but I can already give away that you outscored both me and Shane for this year. So congratulations again, once more.
Thank you. I mean, it's a tough battle out there, I think, especially now with the amount of players that we have. But I can say I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm happy with that. But of course, next year I look to, you know, take the top, as I'm sure everyone else does.
Shane, what was your prediction for Abu Dhabi?
If I'm correct, I had Norris on one, Verstappen on two, and I had Russell on three. So that resulted in not too many points this week.
Yeah, I see you scored only 30.25 points. I gotta say though, I actually went, I changed it somewhat last minute. I also first went with Norris, Verstappen and Russell. I switched it up to Norris, Verstappen and Piastri, but neither of us scored a lot of points. I scored 35.25. So you moved 57 places down, which got you to a final position of P265. So that number will be next to your name during 2026. And myself, I moved down 22 places to P134. So neither of us made it to the top 100, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's it's way different than a few years ago. That's true.
Yeah, I remember the times too where it was easy to get a top 10 score for a season, but those days are behind us. I think it's time to talk a little bit about the race, and Sam, I think I'll give you the honors of explaining a little bit what you saw on the Sunday. Of course, we're recording this one day late. We're on the Monday now, so you've had a little bit of time to think about everything. And how do you look back at this Abu Dhabi Grand Prix?
I think both of you touched on the fact that it wasn't an overall exciting race, but it had exciting elements to it. And of course, the most obvious one being the championship battle down to the three drivers that also happened to be starting 1, 2, 3 in terms of qualifying. However, I would say that, you know, one of the most interesting things I took from the race, first of all, was the initial overtake that Piastri made on Norris. I thought that it was a courageous move and it was impressive. And to me, I think at that point, you were quite excited as to what was going to happen. And I would also say that it was interesting right down to the finish because, you know, probably, and I'm guesstimating in terms of laps now because I don't have the number offhand, but it was probably less than 10 laps in that Leclerc finally, like, you knew that he wasn't going to be able to catch Norris. However, there was that moment, there was that period of time where he was hot on his tails, and that just added another element of excitement. I think overall it was fun to see Max at the top winning the overall race. And yeah, my heart goes out to Piastri a bit because I think that he has had a fantastic season as well. But of course, we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, I think it's fair to talk about Norris and his championship. But before I forget, want to touch on one of the things you said there. I think Leclerc actually did have a great race. I was very surprised to see the Ferrari after the previous couple of weekends. They've been awful, to be honest. And again, Hamilton did not make it out of Q1. But I was very, very pleased to see Leclerc's race and his race pace. I was actually very surprised by that. At the same time, also similarly surprised by how much trouble Russell had, not just off the line, but throughout the whole race. And yeah, that was one of the surprises. And good that you mentioned that overtake from Piastri, because Shane, I think neither of us had expected that, no, on the hard tires against Norris's mediums.
No, exactly. That was really very impressive, that overtake, especially on the outside. It was not like a dive bomb or going on the inside. It was really nice on the outside. And yeah, from that moment, I had a little bit excitement for the race because, yeah, Norris was in P3, which was the minimum he needed to reach. But then I think for the first 10 laps or something, maybe 15, can't remember, that Leclerc was still in DRS from Norris, always getting a little bit closer and closer, and then, well, he couldn't overtake, but he stayed a distance. That was I was very surprised that Leclerc could stay that close for so long. But I think that was a little bit the most exciting, the most exciting part of the race, that Norris was P3 and was still getting hunted. So Max couldn't really do much because he was first. I think PS3 was really the one who couldn't do anything. He needed to wait or hope some miracle would happen, that there were some engine issues, some crashes, whatever. He couldn't control his own fate in that race. So I think that was a bit the exciting part, that maybe Leclerc could go closer, maybe Norris would go P4. But I think at the end of the day, there was already some discussion on the internet, would Piastri give way if it came to that point? I think he would yield a position to Norris for him to secure that championship for sure.
It's very interesting because I think everybody talked about that endlessly before the start of the race. And then in the end, there was really not much drama, which I guess after a season full of drama within the McLaren team, I think that's what many people expected. And I think McLaren probably were extremely pleased that it never went down that way. We sort of surpass also, I think, the fact that Verstappen had a flawless weekend as well, setting it on pole first of all, and then dominating the race the way he did. I think that I think that you're probably right that Piastri would have yielded, because the fact alone that they split strategies, which after a season full of McLaren blunders on the strategy end, I think that for the first time they actually made a clever move, and this was definitely the way to prevent Red Bull from doing what Lewis tried, for example, in 2016 to bunch the field together in order for at that point, of course, Nico Rosberg to be overtaken. But Verstappen never really could try that because of Piastri being on the alternative strategy. He could not bunch up the field because Piastri would have just would have gotten within a pit window, especially if there would have been a safety car. Of course, we never saw a safety car because all 20 drivers finished. And not only did McLaren split the strategies, Red Bull did the same thing, of course, with the same idea of doing, of having Tsunoda defending against Norris. And that, that actually somewhat seemed to start to happen. But then instead of actually defending on the places where you can defend in this race, he didn't do much of a good job on that. It was interesting to hear him on the radio and say, leave me alone, and I know what I'm doing, as if he's FSC's in the shadow of Kimi Raikkonen, but then in the end, basically just letting him pass on the straight and starting to weave. And I was going to ask both of you what you thought about that before giving my own two cents. So Sam, how did you? Were you excited? Did you think that Tsunoda was going to keep up Norris for at least a lap or so?
To be honest, I mean, in the moment when it all happened, no, I did not think that. I thought that what was more entertaining was the fact when his engineer came on and advised of the penalty, he was so shocked by it at that stage. Because I think, to me, that was quite comical. And I mean, how could you not receive a penalty for literally driving, having the driver go completely wide and off the track? Forcing the driver off as what happened to Norris. And I mean, I guess obviously he's trying to create a strategic roadblock, but it was a very brief one and it didn't work out in his favor. Shane, what was your opinion with that?
Well, yeah, first of all, he's no Sergio Perez. That was the whole a whole different way of defending. But yeah, I don't think he had much to defend with. I think he was already like on very old tires. If he really wanted to, I think he could like that lap before, like really park it a little bit in the last sector, which he did a little bit. He slowed down a little bit, but it was not very sufficient. But yeah, at the end of the day, he had nothing to lose. I mean, he has no seat for next year. He's going to be a reserve driver for them. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you could argue that maybe a little bit of the middle finger to Red Bull, like, hey, I'm not going to defend too hard, you know, like you got rid of me. I don't know. It's just
no, I think that's a good point. I mean, he's not obliged anything to Red Bull, of course.
Yeah, exactly. If I was like Tsunoda, I mean, yeah, I would not. He has nothing against Max in that, you know, situation. So maybe you could help him out a little bit. But yeah, it was not what he was supposed to do. And yeah, as well, it was a little bit comical that he was very surprised about that penalty. I mean, he was weaving, forcing like a driver off the track. I mean, it's a textbook penalty, of course. But yeah, then, you know, like a lot of people are arguing like, oh, why didn't Norris got the penalty? I don't know. I don't think they wanted like another, you know, Abu Dhabi last race scandal. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, it was not great defending. It was. I mean, if you look back to 2021 with Sergio Perez, I mean, that's for me like really defending.
No, but that's a good point. I saw a lot of talk about that on social media as well. But of course, you know, the fact that. And it's actually written quite clearly in the rules and referred to also in the FIA documents that when a driver is being forced off the track, the driver going off track, track limits don't count as if they're off track. So also going off track and gaining an advantage doesn't really count as going off track. And I think that's the obvious decision, because otherwise you would just be able to, you know, to drive somebody into a penalty, and it just doesn't work that way. That's not racing. You know, you can defend, but what Yuki was doing was not defending. You know, defending is defending a corner, but he was weaving and forcing Norris off track, and you know, Norris didn't really have anywhere to go. And then I've seen people say that he could have still stayed with two wheels within the white lines, which if you put a centimeter between it and measure it, then yeah, of course he could have. But of course, Norris needs to drive. And I think altogether this weekend, I think that was a little bit the summary that you could give of Norris' weekend. It was just, you know, making sure that he finished. I think there was never any threat from any of the other teams to really threaten the McLarens off the podium. I think you could already see that in qualifying. I felt that I don't want to say he was driving with the handbrake on, but he did not give it his all, as you could see on the pole lap of Verstappen and also the other flying lap in Q3 of Verstappen. You know, he was giving it all. I think Piastri was also driving slightly more on the edge. I think Norris the whole weekend just wanted to make sure he crossed the finish line when he had to, make sure that he wasn't. And now back to also the overtake of Piastri on the outside. You know, of course, Norris could have defended very aggressively. But I think also if you look at Norris as a driver and putting it a little bit more into perspective of not just this last race, not even just this season, but his last seven seasons in F1, I think he's a driver that wants to win the championship in his own driving style. I think he's referred to that quite often, saying he doesn't want to be as aggressive as Verstappen. Now, some people like that, some people don't like that. But at least he sticks to, you know, his own method of driving. And I think in this last race of the season, there was really nothing else for him to do than just make sure that you cross that finish line, make sure that you're just, you know, within reach of having enough points. And of course, you know, with that 12-point gap, he just needed to finish on the podium. And I've heard a lot of people say that that makes his championship not as great. But I think you need to reflect on two things. First of all, the championship is not won just in Abu Dhabi. It's a whole season of races. And if you look overall, there's not been two races in a row where Norris has not been on the podium. He's been very, very consistent. He's had up and downs definitely throughout the season. But actually, his latter part of the season was extremely strong. And I think overall, you know, I think that goes for any championship. If you win the championship, you've deserved to win it. And, you know, it not everyone is, maybe that sounds a little bit harsh on Norris, but, you know, they're not all Max Verstappen's and Lewis Hamilton's and Ayrton Senna's. I mean, we've had other world champions as well. And in the end, it's a championship that is a combined driver team championship. I mean, you need not forget that in the end, it's also about building the car that McLaren did build. And I don't think you can take anything away from that. Apart from that, of course, it's also about managing races and strategy. And I think a lot of people have criticized McLaren there. And I think some of that criticism is fair. I think McLaren would definitely have been able to win the championship earlier on if they would have managed things in a way that, for example, other teams like Red Bull in the past, but also how Ferrari has done it in the past, you know, choosing one driver and putting everything up to let that driver win all the points. I mean, you can do that, but we would have had a much more boring championship as well. I mean, the only reason that we actually enjoyed this race, the last race of the season, is because there was still a championship on our hands. Because if that wouldn't have been the case, this would have been probably the most boring race of the season, together with Qatar. So, yeah, I think as viewers, we need to thank McLaren for here and there messing up, but also for not picking one driver as their first driver and just let them fight it out between themselves. And they get a lot of hatred over that, but actually I've enjoyed the season that way quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a bit of a luxury problem McLaren had, you know. Okay, winning the driver's championship with one car is already, you know, stressful, of course. But then if you go into the last race and you have two people contend, like your two teammates,
yeah,
still going for the same championship together with like a rival. I mean, yeah, if you have to pick some points at pick sides at some point, I mean, yeah, as a team, like you're always gonna make the wrong decision, always. I mean, it's to say, like the last time we had it was 2016 with, you know, as you mentioned before, with like Rosberg and Hamilton. I mean, you cannot pick sides, you know. Like I remember the race that Rosberg was complaining on the radio that Lewis was like going, you know, like the speed of a bicycle at some point during the corners. Like, yeah, but you cannot tell, you know, it's each for his own, that race. You cannot, you know, step in. But yeah, as you said, yeah, Norris is a deserved champion. I mean, the season is not a sprint. It's a whole marathon. And I also saw like a lot of comments online. Yeah, but if this didn't happen in the season, then it was this. And if this didn't happen in the season, yeah, it's all ifs and buts. But I mean, like you can make it for like any driver. You can make it for Piastri. You can make it for Verstappen. I mean, Verstappen really had a good comment in the interviews. Like everybody was like, oh yeah, if you didn't lose your head in Spain and hit Russell, like you would have been champion. I mean, a lot of things could have happened in that season, you know? I mean, if Norris didn't have his, like, if his engine didn't blow up in Zandvoort, it was already, you know, case closed in Qatar, or, like, even before that already. So it's a lot of speculation, but, yeah, at the end, the last race, yeah, counted.
I think it's, I agree with you both in terms of how important it is to have
I'm glad, because I would have thrown you off the podcast.
Oh yeah, good luck. But I mean, well, Anton and I tend to agree on most things when it comes to the sport. But I will say this: I think that an interesting, an important part that you brought up, Anton, is the fact that if we hadn't had a more measured balance or competitiveness in McLaren, then it would have been a more boring season. I think that is a really important thing to remember, because it really rings true. And for people who do get caught up in the whole element of, yeah, well, and they'll look for the favoritism based on something that took place in one race. And we've even talked about it as well in terms of strategy sometimes. I mean, ultimately, as a whole, I think McLaren did really have the drivers compete openly with each other, and that is why a huge reason why this season was so exciting. And it's a risk that the team's taking, because ultimately they were the fastest car this year by a mile, and the only reason why, well, one of the main reasons why Max was even able to be in contention is because exactly like you said, because they decided to allow both drivers compete. So they are taking a risk in doing that, but it is a risk that I think is worth taking, and it is a risk that paid off for them at the end of the day. And for any teams and strategists who have time and time again, we have seen the drivers favored. What I do take as a very much a positive, as I do like to see drivers battle it out, and I don't like to see team orders and that sort of thing. This was a season where you could chalk it up to a team who avoided the strategy of most and still maintained the not only the Constructors' Championship title, but also won the Drivers' Championship title. And I think that if either of the Oscar or Lando walked away with the title, I think you could be satisfied with it, because they both deserved it. It came right down to the wire ultimately. Matter of points, like you mentioned, Shane, it mean anything could happen. You could look at a series of events that took place during this entire season and say, well, if that happened or this. But I think all drivers, including Max, deserve to get to where they were. And I was more than satisfied to see a final race with the three of them there. And regardless of whether it was Lando to take the title, either any of those drivers would have deserved it if they were able to have taken it, as opposed to Lando, or if any of them did, for that matter.
Yeah, and I think that's a great compliment as well to Piastri, because in the end, if you compare him to his previous two seasons, of course, his rookie season, that's normal. The car was also not as good as it was in the last two seasons. But also, you know, last year, I think Norris was clearly had the upper hand to Piastri. And I think this year, I don't want to say Piastri surprised me, because I think he was always a driver with a lot of potential, but you know, it he really challenged Norris in a way that you know, Norris has had seven seasons. So big compliment to Piastri. I think his time will still come, and all in all, that you know, that's exciting for like years to come. Of course, like Shane was saying earlier, I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, new regulations, new engines. So there can be a big mix-up. The grid stays more or less the same, except, of course, for Arvid Lindblad now going to Racing Bulls, Hajar going into the Red Bull. We have two new cars on the grid with Cadillac. I'm very interested to see both Bottas and Perez back on the grid. And that's very exciting. I think what is also very exciting, Sam, is that Stroll scored some points, actually, on the last race of the season.
Yes,
but
he
not
did.
but not only Stroll. Also, I found it very interesting that to see that the strategy that both Hülkenberg and Hamilton, because you know both started, I think if I'm not mistaken, 16th and 18th. Hamilton, Albon, and Hülkenberg starting in the exact order of 16, 17, 18s, all started on soft tires. And whereas Albon's race wasn't great, he finished outside the points. But both Hamilton and Hülkenberg made it into the points as well, with Hülkenberg scoring the last points for Sauber. That's of course the other change on the grid. They are going to turn into Audi. That's very, very exciting. I thought Bortoleto had a pretty good weekend too. I was even surprised to see the final race classification and not see him in the points, because for a long time I thought he would be. Hamilton, I think there's a lot of... of course, a lot of things to discuss about him, but one of the positive parts to take is that even though his qualifying seems to not be very much on point lately, but his race pace very much is, and Ocon scoring points, which was a good result for him, but also Alonso finishing on P6, I think that was a very strong end to the season for Aston Martin.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think going back to Hamilton and the contrast in terms of the Ferrari drivers, you mentioned the fact that Leclerc had a fantastic race, and I completely agree with you. Surprise, surprise. But I also think that overall, and I touched on this last week, so I won't give it too much time, but that Leclerc has had an overall pretty solid, actually quietly successful season. For what he could maximize out of that car. With that being said, in contrast with Lewis, I mean, we've seen, especially towards the back end of this season, him struggle in areas that we're not used to seeing him struggle, namely in qualifying. And we've also seen that as those weekends have progressed and as those results have continued to decline, so has his ability to remain optimistic, let's say. So I believe I saw a quote, something to the extent that he plans to basically throw away his phone and not speak to anyone for the entire summer and check out. And maybe that's what he needs to do. Who knows what really is going on behind closed doors when it comes to Ferrari. But I do think that this season, I don't know, probably was maybe definitely one of his most challenging. And we'll see what happens in 2026. I think that he is a driver with a very big question mark for next season in terms of where he will be and ultimately where he will end up.
I think Hamilton was like the biggest surprise of the season, in my opinion, was the biggest surprise of the season, and unfortunately not in a good way. If you see like Leclerc, you know, get that car, like how many podiums did he have? Like 5 podiums, I think, this year. Okay, Hamilton had the sprint win very early in the season, so everybody was like, you know, pretty excited, pretty hyped. But then, yeah, from there on, it went a bit downhill, and yeah, it's sad to see, honestly, because he made the move to like the team that's basically the pinnacle of Formula One, to Ferrari. Everybody wants to drive, wants to be successful in Ferrari, and it's not happening. Like, it didn't happen this season. And you know, he's the most successful driver ever, so to have a season like this, and then, yeah, as you said, next year the new cars, nobody knows what's going to happen until the first weekend that they're, you know, in Australia. So let's say if that's also like they have the car wrong, or the Ferrari engine is not that great, and they have the car wrong, and he has another, you know, let's say a bit of a stinker of a season. I mean, he doesn't want to go out like that. He's also not getting younger. I don't think he's going to follow the footsteps of Alonso carrying on so long. But I mean, especially also, you know, small topic, you know, this, like, you have Oliver Bearman that, you know, it's like already linked to that seat for in a few years. So, I mean, it's a little bit sad for me to see that, you know, it's gonna go downhill a little bit like this. So I hope really for next year, you know, as well as a bit of being a Ferrari fan as well, but that they actually have a good competitive car.
It's an interesting one because you say Bierman, and I think that that's very much the logical road for them to take. But imagine if Hamilton is not performing next year and Ferrari does have a good car, Leclerc does perform, and Red Bull does not have a good car. Does that open up possibilities for Verstappen driving in red? I'm just daydreaming now. Ooh. But actually, I'll surprise you. I'm just counting the amount of podiums for Leclerc. You mentioned 5. It's even 7. He scored his first podium in Saudi. He was 3rd. He was 2nd in Monaco. He was 3rd in Austria. He was 3rd in Belgium. And he was 3rd in Austin. He was 2nd in Mexico. So actually, if you count that all up and compare that to Hamilton, it's
sad. Yeah, and I mean, okay, you have the argument that Leclerc is already like for a long time at Ferrari. Also, this type of car, you know, since 2022, they have this type of car, so he's like more used to it. So that's really, if next year is a complete new car, you know, you also have the DRS anymore, you have complete new system, new engine, like, yeah, it's a complete new car. So if, as you said, Leclerc performs well in that car, even if the car is not that great, but he still performs well, and Hamilton has a bit of the same season as he has this year, yeah, what's gonna happen? If I'm not mistaken, his contract goes until 2026, so he's going to be end of contract, I think. So yeah, then what's Ferrari going to do, and what's Hamilton going to do? He says, okay, I'm gonna hang up the boots, you know, I'm gonna hang up the steering wheel, is Ferrari gonna sack him? You know, who wants to sack the most successful driver on the grid, basically? So yeah, I think it's a lot of question marks for for a few months.
That means it's time to go to our quizzes. But actually, before we do, I wanted to rectify something because I somewhat messed up in the previous quiz. So just going back to that a little bit, Sam, I got confused because I was actually keeping correct scores, but then I started to doubt myself, and then I don't know for what reason I added an additional point for Kari Laura that shouldn't have. So as I already concluded during the quiz, you probably won it, but on count back you actually did win it, so I wanted to congratulate you once more for that, and apologize for not keeping scores correctly. I'm going to really try and do my best for this week.
There's always an opportunity for a first time for everything, and I think that was definitely the first time for you.
Well, let's see how we do this this weekend. I've actually made two quizzes, so one quiz is going to be the regular quiz, and now you see that my preparations are actually not that good because I haven't even prepared. So if the two of you can just talk about anything random at this point and entertain our listeners for a little bit, I'm actually going to prepare, because I say two quizzes. I've actually only prepared the second quiz and I haven't prepared the first, but it's not going to take me very long. So
that's okay. No. Shane, I'll actually ask you a question. What would you say when it comes to this year? What was maybe your most memorable moment of the entire season, through all the races, every single race weekend?
Oh, that's we had like quite some surprises this year. But I would one of the points I would highlight, that's like Hülkenberg's first podium, like his yes. finally his first podium. I mean, it's not only
I'm still checking scores, but I agree.
It's not only. It's not only that, like, his first podium, but it's in a Sauber. I mean, like, the previous years, like Sauber, Alfa Romeo, they were not that really great. Even this year, I mean, for me, it's also a surprise that they finally got, like, a step up, but then be able to get, like a podium out of it. Of course, it was with a bit of luck, but also, like, on race pace, he stayed in that position. Which was very impressive. It's the same a bit with Williams having two podiums this year. Like, where did this come from at some point? So I would say like a Racing Bull podium as well. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that's really like multiple memorable points and surprises for me is we've seen podiums that shouldn't have been there. And it can happen once. It can happen like, you know, out of nothing, a Hülkenberg podium. But then you got like two Sainz podiums. And then you got like a V-car podium. I mean, that's for me like very, very memorable this season that we, yeah, had some more different podium. I don't know how many different podium so we had or like different people on the podium. I would say at least like 10, maybe 11.
It's a good question.
So yeah, that was for me like the most memorable thing for this whole season, really.
Yeah, and you know, well, I'd have to say I completely agree with you. That was going to be mine. if there was any memorable, I would say the most memorable for me as well is Nico. I don't know. I think like you mentioned, we have some first timers on the podium. Nico being someone who's been in the game for the longest time without achieving a podium, I guess. And then we had a rookie on the podium this season as well. We saw with Isaac Hadjar, who now, as we've talked about, is going to be the second driver for Red Bull. I think it would be fair to say that his future is quite bright after a first season in F1. It was quite a successful one for him.
Yeah, that definitely is. I mean, we've seen, you know, like Lawson also being pretty good in the V-Carb last year, then getting promoted to Red Bull. Also with Tsunoda promoted to Red Bull. It didn't really, you know, was very successful at the end. If we're being honest, them being promoted, so I really hope for Isaac that for next year the car is pretty good. He can really show his potential in a fast car, hopefully a fast car. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. So was a little bit my question from my side is, what do you think is gonna be like the biggest surprise next year? Maybe like a team driver, but what do you think is going to be like a surprise, or what you hope, or what you think?
I think it's going to be two things that are going to be the biggest surprise, or may have the opportunity to be the biggest surprise for the entire year. And I think one of them is going to be all the new specifications for 2026, the very large changes that are coming into play with the car. Think it's that season is going to really be huge when it comes to the engineering side of teams, and I am very much looking forward to the testing to see who's where everybody is. So I think that's going to provide some surprises. I also would say the second thing that I think is going to provide surprises is having another team on the grid. I mean, that's two other cars on the grid. There's two other drivers. I think that obviously is going to add another element and would likely lead to some surprises for next year on the track during some races. And so those I would say were mine. Do you have any that come to your mind when it comes to surprises you expect?
Yeah, I would agree that you know, we have like two more cars on the grid, so we're gonna have 22 cars in total. I mean, it's not really new. Maybe for like recent, you know, Formula One viewers, but we used to have 24 before. So I think if 11 teams goes well, I see them increasing in a few years.
Exactly.
Again, I would see them going back to 12. I would love to as well. If there's like no major drama or. I mean, because we also have like a lot of, you know, new circuits. You know, we're gonna have also Madrid next year.
And the biggest problem was, I think, Zandvoort didn't have enough pit boxes, but Zandvoort is gonna be off the calendar after next year. So, you know, all in all, I mean, let them come.
Yeah, exactly. So I like I said, Saudi is already, you know, building a new circuit as well. So we have a lot of new circuits. Not everybody agrees with it, me neither, but yeah, I would say the more cars, like the more racing we're gonna see.
Exactly.
So yeah, I would think that would be like a very nice thing. But yeah, we have I think in the terms of teams, yeah, if it's going to be new engines, new cars, but we have a lot of changes going on. You know, we have Aston going to with Honda. You know, Honda very successful over the past few years with Red Bull, you know, getting four championships. Maybe the last years was, you know, like together with Red Bull, not purely Honda engine. You know, we have Alpine going with Mercedes, so they're not going to have the Renault engine anymore. If I'm not mistaken, Cadillac will go with Ferrari engines, I'm not sure. But yeah, Cadillac, you know, like General Motors, a very known name in motorsport, very successful as well in other types of motorsport. So we have so many changes going on in teams, drivers, cars. I think we're gonna see some big surprises that we haven't seen before. For me personally, I would think Aston Martin will make a big move. Like they did in 2023.
You almost even said Aston Martin as Lawrence Stroll is Aston Martin.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I have to adapt a little bit. But yeah, I think, you know, 2023 they were very successful until they, you know, couldn't keep up with the upgrades and you know, went backwards. So yeah, I really hope new with Adrian Newey as well as team principal also came out of the blue for me. I'm really the most excited for them to see up top. Maybe an Alonso win, who knows?
Well, that would be the dream. I think that's the right one to cut it off with. I mean, I was ready with this course after you mentioned Sainz a double podium earlier on. So let's get into the quizzes before we make this a 2-hour podcast, which we could and we still might, but let's get started. And Sam, I'm going to give you the first one on this one. So we're going to guess, of course, I've already mentioned we had 1,380 people playing the game. How many people put Verstappen on P1 for this weekend in their Forecast 1 predictions, Samantha Horvath?
Let's go with 399.
Ooh, I think it's going to be a little bit more. I think a lot of people are hoping for a Verstappen win. So I would go with 645.
Shane gets the first point. It was even a lot more than that. It was 843 people.
Wow. Whoa. That's a lot of them.
That's a lot of them. That means, well, that doesn't mean anything yet. We're going to go to PS3 on P2 for you, Shane. Yeah, no, I'm going to like strictly do this very well to make up for what I did last week. So PS3, Shane on P2.
I think it's going to be less. I think it's going to be 240.
Let's go a little higher and say 312.
That means we are one against one. It was 477, relatively high. Sam, we go to our world champion on P3.
Ah, let's go. I'm going to go a little lower, and I'm going to say 297.
Very difficult. It's starting to become difficult already. I would say 450.
It is starting to become more difficult for you, Shane. This is a point for Sam. It was 133. Means we're going to go to Charles Leclerc on P4. That one's for Shane.
How 120 people.
I'm going to go higher than that. I'm going to say 432.
Well, it was indeed higher, but you outdid that one a little bit. It was 194, so that means it's a point for Shane. It's actually interesting. I think that means I can say this now. So we had 133 people that predicted Norris on... Actually... Yeah. Now I'm thinking about, I have another bonus question, but I was going to move that now to the other quiz. Anyway, now that I already said this, I'll tell you. But so there was 133 people, you know, with usually with the McLarens, when you look at the amount of predictions, you know, it triples down. So you'll have more people putting Norris on P1 than putting on P2, more people putting him on P2 than on P3, and more people putting him on P3 than on P4. But of course, with the setup of this last race, and the only way Verstappen winning the title when he was winning the race is for Norris to finish P4 or less. So we had 133 people that put Norris on P3. How many people do you think put Norris on P4?
Is this question directed to me first?
Well, to either one. It's not counting for points anyway.
Okay, I'm going to say 82.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. Like, I was going into the narrative, like, people always, you know, it's less and less and less. But then there was 133 people that put Norris on P3, but there was 342 people that put him on P4. So there was a little bit of a funny one in this one, if you're following. But if not, that doesn't matter. We're going to go to Russell on P5 for you, Sam.
Let's go with 187.
I think it's going to be a little bit higher. I think we go 380.
Ooh. Sam was pretty close to the right answer. It was 212. So that's Sam's third point. Shane is stuck on two. But Shane, you're up for Alonso on P6.
Um, 58 people.
I'm going to go a little higher. No, actually, I'll go lower. I'm going to say 47. I like the number 7 today.
Well, you're going strong, Sam. It was 39 people. So that means it's not a point for you. And that means you're up for Esteban Ocon on P7.
All right. I think that was a surprise. And we actually didn't even mention that, but he had a fantastic race weekend, Esteban, or at least the race. I'm going to put 13 people, I think.
I'm going to go with 9.
Yeah, it was not a lot of people. It was only 4 people that put him on P7 and scored all of the 6 points. I think it's only fair to mention who those 4 people were. It was Simon Blanco from Colombia, Isaac Saliba from Malta, Avinash Gandhu from India, and Alexander Bailey from the United States. And that means Shane was closer to the right answer, because 9 is closer to 4 than 13 is. So it's 4 against 3. Hamilton was on P8, and that one's for Shane.
Hamilton on P8. I would go with 240.
That's a pretty good guess, because I was going to say the 2s as well. I'm going to go slightly lower and say 212.
Well, you're on the roll, Sam. That's your 5th point for the game. It was 177 was the right answer, and it means you're also up for Nico Hülkenberg on P9.
Okay, let's go with 21.
It's a very difficult one, because I would think lower, but at the same time higher. I would go with 41.
Higher was indeed the right direction to go. It was a surprising 91 people that had Hülkenberg on. Of course, the Saubers were doing quite well in the practice sessions, so you got to keep that in mind. It does influence how our players think. But 41 is only 50 away from the right answer, and 21 is 70 away from the right answer. This point was for Shane. We go to the last point, Shane. If you get this one right, we go to a tie, and we go to the bonus question. So, of course, it's Lance Stroll on P10.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a surprise. We'll go with 41 again.
I'm going to go low and I'm going to say 8.
Well, this is very, very interesting. Sam, you are 15 away from the right answer. Shane, you are 18 away from the right answer. So the point goes to Sam. It was 23 people that went with Stroll on P10. So it was very, very close. But Sam, you take the win for this weekend. But instead of having to wait for a whole nother season, Shane, I'm going to give you a rematch because I've prepared another quiz, which is a little bit of a throwback on this season of forecast. So why don't we straight get into it? I've got 9 questions, so it's an uneven number. That way, it's going to provide a winner whichever way. And my question is, the first question is, how many people, of course, we know that Norris won the championship. The question is, in all these scenarios, how many people in their predictions predicted Norris to win the championship? So, of course, that would have been everyone who put Norris on the podium, or of course Norris getting a lower than the podium, but Verstappen not winning the race, for example. Verstappen not on P1 but Norris on P4, Verstappen not on P1, Norris on P5, you know, playing out all the different scenarios. How many out of the 1380 people went with a Norris championship win?
It's difficult. I'm thinking quickly back on the results.
I knew this was going to happen. That was initially why it was the bonus question.
I think it's going
to
be...
We can go back to the fact that there was 843 people that predicted Verstappen to win the race. But then again, that still doesn't tell you how many... Well, I told you 133 people that had Norris on P3. And there were 342 that had him on P4, but I don't know if you could put all things together now. And
yeah, exactly. It's a bit difficult.
I'm making it difficult on purpose. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty high, actually. I would go like 840 people.
I'll go lower than you, but I'll still stay pretty high because I agree. I think a lot of people would have chosen it, so I'm going to say 620.
Okay, well, both of you are not that far away, but I have to give the point to Shane here. You were very, very close to the right answer. The actual answer was 822. So you're only 18 away from the right answer. I think that is very impressive.
Yeah, Norris really was the favorite to win it as well. But yeah, 822 people out of 1300 something. I mean, it's a lot of believers in Norris, that's for sure.
Well, we will go right into the next question, and that question is, what was the total unique amount of players for forecast for 2025? So how many different players have we had throughout this whole season? That one's for Sam first, by the way.
So just ask me that once again, because I just really want to make sure that I'm right.
So
here.
How many different players have we had in this season? So, you know, that counts everybody that is a unique player. So even if people predicted only once, people that have predicted the whole season count as one as well. So how many different players have we had in this very season?
Let's go with 2,824.
Oh, that's actually a very good guess. I was going in looking into the 2000s as well. But I would go a little bit lower. I would say 2,480.
All right. So it's actually very interesting. Sam, the number you mentioned is extremely close to the amount of players that we had last year. That was 2,800 and something. I don't recall the right number. I think 54. But anyway, so we've actually had a lot more players this year. We've had a lot of players also that came in just once and played just one time and, you know, forgot about it altogether. By the way, This is ridiculous. I'm going back now to last year and see how many players we had last year, unique players. That was the exact amount that you just guessed, Sam, 2,824.
No way.
It's like, yeah, it's like you'd written it down somewhere, but I know you did not. So
I definitely did not.
Impressive. Yeah, this was not a question in the game. Yeah, so unfortunately, can't give you any points for that. I will give you the point for being closer, though, because we had 3,987 players this year. So that's your first point of this quiz. Yes, indeed. Awesome. But Shane, so the next question is, and of course, now comes in the whole mathematics again. How many unique predictions have we had? So how many total predictions have we had during this season? So, you know, in this case, a player playing only once counts only as once, but you predicting 24 times this season, you count with 24 predictions. So how many predictions in total have we had this season?
Oh.
Yeah, they're difficult on purpose. That's the disadvantage of coming on the last podcast of the season.
Yeah, let me take like a little bit of an average here. I would say around 65,000.
Okay. I don't know. This is a tough question. That's a big number. So that means that like the door is wide open here. I'm just gonna say 50,000.
Okay. All right. Good guesses. I know these questions are not easy. They're not supposed to be. The right answer was 32,358.
Oh, wow.
Again, as I was saying, there's a lot of people that just came and made one prediction and then forgot about the game altogether. So that's why the number is a little bit lower. So I urge all of you to play the whole season for next year. Anyway, this is a point for Sam. So that means we're one against... Hey, wait. I'm keeping the right scores now. You know, I'm even circling the right answers this time, so I can go back and count it. We're one against three. Shane, no, I gave you the first guess this time, right? So it's Sam for question four. What is the total amount of points scored, taking everybody points together? You know, I had to take, I could have asked you guys things like what is the high score this season, but you just can go in the app and you can see what the right answer is. So I had to, you know, I had to compile some questions that are not that easy to answer so that, you know, it's making it a little bit tougher, but that doesn't matter. There's no wrong answer. So, you know, what's the total amount of points scored during the whole year? Everybody added up.
For 2025.
On 2025. Are you looking for a calculator yet? you can use a calculator. I mean, you can make a, you know, you can make a.
Well, I mean, this is like, how do you do like just a general amount of quick math here?
Yeah, ballpark. I just opened another beer and see you guys struggle a bit. We should do this more often.
For your entertainment. 275,000.
Ooh, it's a pretty good guess. It can go any direction, actually. I think it's going to be a little bit higher. I think it's going to be 480,000.
Okay, it is indeed a little bit higher. Even so much that you're about 1,000,000 points off.
Wow.
It's 1,355,168 to be exact. So I'll go into questions that are maybe a little bit less calculating, but just a little bit of guesswork. Actually, this point was for Shane, by the way, so we're two against two. I am keeping track of score. How many players made a prediction this season scoring 0 points?
Oh.
I think this one is for... Is it for Shane? It is for Shane.
Yeah, I think so. Just zero, a flat zero, right?
A flat
Not
zero.
Like zero and 0 point. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. 0.1 doesn't count.
The people that actually participated.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I don't think there was anyone. I think at least somebody had like a 0.something. So I'm going with 0 people.
0 people. Sam.
I'm going to say 1.
All right. That means the point goes Sam's direction. There was 25 people. And
what?
Wow.
There was, yeah, I've even written down for which races. It was for Australia. It was for Australia, we had 4 people. For the Netherlands, we had 1. And for Azerbaijan, for Baku, we had 20 people that scored 0 points. Interestingly enough, we also had one guy. I won't mention names. I can say he's from Poland, who scored 0 points for one of those races and never predicted again. So actually participated this season, but never scored any points. So he's always been at the very bottom of the ranking with 0 points. And unfortunately, he never came back and predicted. So the right answer was 25 people, especially that Baku race. I mean, that was a wild score sheet for racers and for the drivers and 20 people that scored 0 points, interestingly. So that means we go to the next question. And the question is, and this one's for Sam, from how many different countries did we have people participating this year?
That's a good question. Ooh. 65.
I can't remember. I think I saw it somewhere recently, or like a few races ago. I think I saw it somewhere. Could be mistaken.
Well, paying attention is obviously helping for you.
Yeah,
to
but
score
I
can't.
Points,
I can't. So that's good.
I know I saw it, but I cannot remember what the number was. But I think it was pretty high. I was actually surprised about it. I would go with 95.
It's even higher than that. It's 150
wow.
different countries. So.
Yeah, I was guessing 120. I think I saw somewhere 120 or 125. I can't remember.
Well, that means it's 3 against 3. That also means actually for what I was talking about, the competition next year, the Nations Champions League, that means there's going to be 150 people participating in that if they play forecast again. So that's going to be exciting. But we go to question number 7. And we've seen throughout the whole year that Kenya had by far the highest amount of players in the game. And my question to you is, to you first, Shane, how many unique players did we have from Kenya?
Oh, that's...
yeah, they're all difficult questions, I know by now.
Yeah, no, but it's... I'm trying to think if it has been mentioned, yes or no, already. I think it's quite a lot. I would... From the almost 4,000 people, I would say, I would say like 250.
Okay, I'm gonna stay close to you and say 275.
That's funny because the way that your tone in saying "okay, Sam," I can somewhat feel how how you feel about the question.
No, it's just I feel like I'm gonna be wrong every single time. This is a different type of question.
You're both quite close to the right answer. It's a little bit lower actually. It's 218, so that means it is another point for Shane. This one's 4 against 3 now, so there's 2 questions left. But all right, okay. And the last two are interesting. Well, they were all interesting ones, but the question is, how many people scored more than 1,000 points this year? And you guys, I'll give you the option to tell you how many it was last year, if you guys want to know, to have a reference point.
Okay, let's go. Let's go with the reference point.
Okay, the reference point is that there have been 135 people last year that scored over 1,000 points.
Let's go with 172.
Very difficult. I think it's gonna be less. I think it's going to be 110.
It was 238. So wow. That means we're 4-4. It means it's going to be decided by the last question. And the last question is, actually, let me see if I've written down. I've written down two questions. Well, we're going to make it into one question. Okay, yeah. So last year, I'm thinking about how to frame this question. Well, I don't know how well you guys paid attention to me saying how many points the winner scored. Okay, I'll do it this way. So the winner this year scored 1,207.9 points. And my question is going to be, how many more points is that than the winner of last season? I should have actually asked how many more or less, but I'm already telling you guys that it's more points than the winner of last season. But so the question is either how many points do you think scored the winner of last season, or what's the difference in points? Either answer I will accept and figure out who's closer. And I think it's Shane that goes first.
Yeah. I cannot remember what last year. I would...
Last year we had Joseph Morgan overtaking in the very last race from Rosario Finzi.
Yeah. And I think we broke, like, I'm not sure, like 1,100, I think we broke. So I would go with 95 more points this year.
Writing down 95.
I'm going to go 54.
That's a good guess.
It's both are almost equally good guesses, because Sam, you are 20.3 points away from the right answer, and Shane, you are 20.7 points away from the right answer. The right answer is 74.3, so that means Sam just slightly wins it by the tiniest of margins.
Wow.
That's impressive. Well, listen,
I think Sam has won almost all the quizzes against you, Shane. What's going on?
No. Not really. No? Last one we did, I won. Like,
oh, I think sorry, I stand to be corrected margin. In that case. Yeah, you won it. Okay.
That's, yeah, because this one was the tiebreaker. This podcast. So, yeah, okay. Well, congratulations. Okay.
Thank you. Although I must say that second quiz was a little stressful for me, because I just
it
felt
was supposed to be.
Especially with the overall amount of points added all together, like numbers wise, my brain was just like I had no idea where to go from there. So, but it was thoroughly entertaining, I will say that. So thank you, Anton, for adding the additional questions for this episode.
I hope people at home or in the car or wherever you are listening have been trying to take a crack at it as well. And if not, I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, in the meantime, while I was figuring out the scores of the first quiz, I mean, you guys already did somewhat of a look ahead for next season. And I think we don't need to do another one other than saying that... thank you all very much for playing Forecast this year. Thank you all for participating, and hope to see you again next year. And of course, we are adding a championship by also predicting MotoGP. It's going to be a completely separate championship. So of course, if you don't predict that, you're not going to be at a loss playing the Formula One championship. The points are not added up. Completely separate championship, but it is going to be very exciting, and perhaps for those not yet following MotoGP, it's a good reason to get into it. But yeah, again, it's been a extremely nice Formula One year, and it's been a nice year predicting with all of you, and it's also been a nice year recording podcasts with you, Sam, and Shane coming on a couple of times as well, and all of the other guests as well. So I think I just concluded with a big thank you.
Well said, and I completely agree. It's been a great season. It's been a exciting time, and we look ahead to 2026 and what the future awaits everybody. So